I ask you to stand as you are able. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the Sermon to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Last week we began this short sermon series on how to lay aside those weights that are holding us down and holding us back, because life is a journey. And we all know that journeys are so much easier when you travel light. And last week we talked about the first thing that we need to lay aside, which is guilt. When you are mired in guilt, it is like trying to walk through a swamp. It's like you're waist deep in a mire and you're just having to slug your way through. It keeps you tired. It keeps you worn. And you can't make progress. And then we also talked about laying aside fear, because fear is immobilizing. That petrifying fear, that kind of fear that you get when you open your mouth and the scream doesn't come out. We have those times spiritually. We have those times when we are so afraid that we just want to hide. We just want to not be noticed. We just want to freeze. And we can't move at all on our journey when we're afraid. Today we're going to talk about laying aside anger. Anger is not carrying around just a little tiny box or a couple of bags. Anger is a great, big, huge crate. And what can start as resentment becomes revenge, which becomes hate, all of which become sin. Last week we talked about how difficult it is for horrible things to happen and for us to maintain a loving spirit. For a gunman to come into a church, actually sit with them through a Bible study, and then shoot 9 people dead. That is appalling to us. And after the shock wears off, you get mad. You get angry. How do you get past it? Someone you love and trust betrays you. How do you get past it? Someone that you were counting on for something that was so important lets you down. How do you get past it? How do you get past the anger? Because, folks, we have to, because if guilt mires us down and if fear freezes us, anger always makes you move in the wrong direction. Always. Always. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, "Be angry but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." Anger is one of the devil's best doors into your heart. and into your mind and into your life. Anger. Anger in and of itself isn't bad. We should be angry about some things. We should feel kind of a righteous anger over any kind of injustice. But we cannot hang on to the anger. We simply can't. Because it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I know that some couples have said they won't go to bed mad at each other. You know, I'm sure some of y'all have sat up all night. Yeah, I see some people looking at each other.
I sleep well.
I tell you what, if some of you didn't go to bed until you got over being mad, you'd be so sleep deprived you couldn't be moving. We've got to let it go. That's what it says. It says, anger is a normal human emotion. And there's some things we need to be angry about. But it's not one of those things we should ever hold on to because it gets a hold of us and it's harder to let go. So we're going to talk about what we can do to let go anger and love your enemy. I have dubbed this the Matthew 5:44 plan. It's a plan of action. Does anybody here not understand that you cannot get over anger by just thinking to yourself, I'm not going to be angry about this anymore? Has that ever worked for anybody? Because if it has, I need you to come lay hands on me and pray for me. Because to me, just thinking, okay, I'm not going to be angry about this anymore, I'm not going to be angry about this anymore, has never worked. I have been angry. I think I'm over it, and then I realize I'm not, and I think, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I don't really do anything. I've even prayed for myself, God, you know, I want to let go of this anger. I want to let go of this anger. But it has never worked for me. The only way to get over anger is to do something contrary to anger. One of the things I learned as a behavioral scientist is you can't do opposite things at the same time. You can't lay down and stand up at the same time, correct? Now, you can move fairly quickly from one to the other, but you can't do them both at the same time. One of the ways we change the way we think and the way we behave is to do the opposite. So if you want to get over your anger, you have to do the opposite. And the first part of that is you have to bless those that curse you. You have to bless people who curse you. You have to bless people who curse you. Now, what happens? And I was talking about the easy kind of cursing. What happens when somebody cusses you? What's the first thing you want to do?
Spit in their face.
Spit in their face. Cuss back. That's the first thing, yeah. You know, there's some words that are just fighting words. Am I right? There's some words that are just fighting words. There's some things you could get away with in my family, but there were some things you couldn't. It would have been the most extreme folly ever for anyone to call either my grandmother or my mother the B word. You wouldn't be standing after that left your mouth. That's not the way. But they'd fly mad so quick. Just didn't use that word. Because people curse you, want to get back. And it flies so quick, doesn't it?
It flies so quick, and those words come back out of your mouth. You didn't even know you knew those words.
But it says in Scripture, in the Matthew 5:44, that we're supposed to bless who curse us. We're not supposed to do it like Joe Odom does it. Yeah, Joe Odom says, bless them with a brick. No, Joe. I've used that one a few times since I heard her say that. If you cannot think of anything to say that is a blessing to the person who has cursed you, someone who has hoped that you will fail, someone who has wished you ill, or even somebody that cusses you, memorize Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 25. Let's say it together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Practice that one. Don't have it in your pocket when you need it. Bless them. Do it out loud. Do it out loud. The second step then is to do good to those who hate you. What's up with that? Do good to those who hate you. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If your enemy is thirsty, give him to drink. For by returning good for evil, you may, it says in the scripture, heap coals upon their head. That doesn't mean you get to set them on fire. That means that it was a sign of repentance, that you may, by being kind, in return for their evil, cause them to repent. Or as the Proverbs say, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Part of the thing about being angry is you always want to have the last word. You know, that old bumper sticker, don't get mad, get even. Or the thing that's going all over Pinterest right now is, don't worry about the dog, beware of owner. We always want to be, when we're angry, we swell up and get intimidating. But you can't do good unless you're being humble. You can't do true good out of a hateful heart. It's humility. It's humility. You have to be humble. And one of my heroes is Abraham Lincoln. And he said, I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends. That's how we destroy enemies. Make them a friend. No longer an enemy. Some people won't let you do that. But then that'll be on their head, not yours. Be good to people, whether or not you think they deserve it. That means forgiving people, whether or not they ask for it, and whether or not they're sorry. How many times have I heard somebody say, well, I'd forgive them if they'd apologize. Well, don't hold your breath. They may never apologize.
But if you're good and you're good to them, no matter what they have done to you, that is like Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ offered salvation to those that put nails in his hands and feet. I really think that you can get over a slight. Your little grudge. And you can get over something bigger too. You can't hold on to it. The third step of this is, it says, pray for those who despitefully use you or persecute you. These are people actively thinking about it, deliberately harming you. Deliberately. This is the one that a lot of times, you know, when something happens, you may not have an opportunity to do good for that person. You may not have the opportunity to, you know, to even say anything to them. They, you know, they may have done it long distance. But everybody can pray. Say that with me. Everybody can pray. And the scripture in 1 John chapter 5 says, if you see your brother or sister committing sin, which is not mortal sin, you will ask and God will give life to such a one. Those whose sin is not mortal. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two mortal sins and neither one of them can be committed against you. They can only be committed against God. The sin from which there is no forgiveness. One is to refuse to accept the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. That's in Mark. And the other one is to become apostate, which means that you at some time accepted Christ and then you turned your back and walked away. That's in Hebrews 5. Those are mortal sins. Those are the only two that can be committed. They're the only two that are unforgivable. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't commit those against another person. So anyone who does anything to you, it's not a mortal sin, although you feel like it. You might feel like they don't need to be forgiven or shouldn't be forgiven, but it says if your brother or your sister commit a sin that is not mortal, you're supposed to pray for them. See, it didn't do me any good to pray, please God, help me to not feel anger. But it made all the difference in the world over time for me to pray, Lord God, please bless them, keep them. Please, Lord God, help them to understand that what they did caused harm. Don't let them cause harm anymore. Lord, help me to love them as you love them. Lord, bless them. Cause good things to happen to them. All of those things that you pray for, and I've got news for you. Sometimes you might pray it at first and not mean it. That is not hypocrisy. Listen to what I'm telling you. That is not hypocrisy. You do it until you feel it. Pray it until you feel it. John Wesley used to tell his preachers, preach faith until you've got faith. You just do it in the spirit of, I want to mean this, and you will. It might take some time. It might take a little time. But that's not hypocrisy. That is taking the discipline over your own self and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. The beauty of prayer is when you don't know what to pray for and you're not doing it quite right, it says the Holy Spirit prays for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that the Holy Spirit prays for me, because how many times have I prayed wrong? But he prays for me. We have got to let anger go. There are three things that we get mired down in or get attached to us without us sometimes even knowing it. Guilt, fear, and anger. Next week, we're going to talk about the one that we knowingly, willfully, and choose to do that we need to lay aside, and that is sin. Because if guilt puts you in a mire where you can barely move, and if fear freezes you, and if anger sends you in the wrong direction, sin keeps us changed, so all we do is go in the circle like a dog on a lead. So come back next week and we'll talk about how we lay aside sin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.